And over time, churches can lose their focus. The Christians can start to become lazy and wandering from the Word of God if we're not careful. And it goes without saying, but I'm going to say it anyways. Why does the church need to be restored? Because the people in the church are not toting the line. They're not following the commands of God like they should. And we've had some fantastic sermons that I've enjoyed listening to. Let's go to Revelation chapter 2. And I'm talking about the church in Thyatira this morning. And I will say this, if little children could get up here and sing a special, I should be able to get up here and preach a sermon. This letter is the longest letter of all the churches in Revelation. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 18. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, "The Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet are like burnished bronze, says this, I know your deeds and your love and faith and service and perseverance, and that your deeds of late are greater than at first." I want to stop there for a second. There in verse 18, Jesus says, the Son of God has something to say to you. And like one commentary said, this is the first time he uses the Son of God in the book of, or in any type of name in the book of Revelation to the churches, I should say, to the churches. Other times he uses attributes and describes himself. But he uses the Son of God, and one commentary said, he does this to get the Christians to know, shut up and listen. God's got something important to say. And I believe anytime the Word of God is preached, spoken, read, we better listen. We better pay attention, because there's important words here. Let's continue on in verse 20. "But I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and she teaches and leads my bondservants astray, so that they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, and she does not want to repent of her immorality. Behold, I will throw her on a bed of sickness, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation unless they repent of her deeds. I will kill her children with pestilence, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts. And I will give to each one of you according to your deeds. But I say to you, the rest who are in Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching, who have not known the deep things of Satan, as they call them, I place no other burden on you. Nevertheless, what you have, hold fast until I come. He who overcomes and he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of the potter are broken to pieces, as I also have received authority from my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." There in verse 18 again, Jesus Christ describes himself, says he has eyes like a flame of fire. God, it's been mentioned, but God sees all things, knows all things. He knows our inner feelings. He knows our thoughts. He knows if we have any hidden, secret, or cherished sin in our lives. And he's able to judge us because he knows us better than we know ourselves. At the church in Thyatira, there were good members and there were bad members. Any church you have, you're going to have those. Good members and bad members. They tolerated this teaching of Jezebel. This teaching, and most likely this woman wasn't named Jezebel, but what did she have? Characteristics that described, that you could take Jezebel of the Old Testament and it would describe her, or them, I should say, a group of people that held to this teaching. This teaching of Jezebel led them astray from the commands of God, where they performed acts of immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols. And as I thought of numerous ways to prepare this message, and I want to talk about three or four things. See what I have time for. Three or four things that we can learn, lessons we can learn from the church in Thyatira if we're going to restore Christ's church. And the first point is, we can be a good man and not a Christian. We live in a world today where people think Christians are just good people. But God has called us to be more than just a good person. He's called us to be Christians. And it's important that we, as we're listening to the Word of God, that we step up to the plate and realize maybe some of us haven't been the Christian we should be. Maybe we haven't been acting like Christians. And no, Christianity is a way of life. Too many times I think people come to church and they take church as a social club. They never take it seriously. The church in Thyatira wants you to notice they were a good church. In verse 19, chapter 2, 19, says, I know your deeds and your love and faith and service and perseverance, and that your deeds of late are greater than at first. And they weren't just sitting, they were actually growing in their deeds. But God had a problem with them. And I wonder if we could be growing in our deeds and still not be right with the Lord. Yeah. What things don't make us a Christian? Well, not being converted. Not being truly converted. Yeah. Conversion, if you will, is more than a change. It's a death. And I hope that when we went into the watery grave of baptism that we did, we died to self. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. In verse 3. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? Therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in a newness of life. You know, at baptism, we were to believe in the Lord and we were to have repented of all of our sins, all known sins at that time. We were to confess Jesus Christ and been baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. And so many times I feel, talking to Christians, I see that there's some sin they wanted to latch on to. They didn't want to totally die. And I've heard that happen where people are baptized into Christ Jesus and years later they say, I didn't totally die. I didn't totally get rid of my sin. And I'm afraid that happens to too many people. I don't know your hearts. I don't know your life. God does though. We need to ask ourselves, did we die? Are we really living as Christians? It breaks my heart because I've seen so many people, good people, and they haven't been converted. Yeah. We need to be just more than just good men. You know, sometimes I see people that they never want to grow. It seems like they remain the same. And you know, if you're not growing, what are you doing? You're dying. Mm-hmm. And they never grow. They're content to be the same. They're content to live however they want. And they never really give Christianity a real consideration. They never take God seriously. They never take Christianity as a reality and that it's real and that God is real. And I hope you will this morning take God as real. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me, gave Himself for me. Did we get rid of the selfishness? Are we really living for Christ? Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 5, 14. Here it says, for the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And He died for all so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died and rose again on their behalf. Did we surrender ourselves to God when we became Christians? Are we totally surrendered, and are we still totally surrendered? Because there could come a time we may have been Christians when we first were baptized. But over time, we may fall. We may backslide. Are we really converted? Are we more than just a good man? Are we Christians? And all I can say is that when we truly give our all to God, There's a big change in our life. I mean, things aren't the same for us. Life is, I mean, we want to be close to God. And somewhat it's hard to express what you feel in on the inside when you are converted. And the changes it brings about in your life when you are converted. But it's great. But what other things? Don't make us a Christian. Well, when we destroy the preachers and the preaching. Now this woman at Thyatira was compared to Jezebel, or these people in the old, in Thyatira compared to Jezebel of the Old Testament. And what did Jezebel of the Old Testament do? She killed the preachers, right? Killed the prophets of God. Sometimes church members do that. They want to kill the preaching. They want to kill the preacher. And that's a sad thing. We shouldn't do that. We should uphold godly preachers. Some people gossip about the preacher. They may not even be the preacher of their own congregation, but they gossip about another preacher. Maybe preaching the Word of God. Maybe living right. When you destroy the preaching of the church, you're going to destroy the church. God says He will destroy anyone who destroys the church. So we need to be careful we're not destroying preaching of God's Word or preachers. And like I said, I don't believe you're a Christian if you're doing that. How could you be if you're destroying something of God? You're also not a Christian if you influence people for the worse. Christians aren't to influence people for the worse, are they? They're supposed to influence people for the better. They're supposed to influence people to serve the Lord. And yet, I've seen people, and I've heard of people, encouraging other Christians, if you will, to do evil. And some of it is not going to be blanket sin. It's not going to be necessarily the cussing and the drinking, although I've seen that too. Some of it could just be questionable areas. And you know what? They no, that's not wrong. Go ahead and do it. And they get people to follow them. And they get people to do those things. And let's just say, oh, this TV show's not bad. This movie's not bad. This music's not bad. These books aren't bad. And whatever else they can influence people to do. And they get these people to follow them. They get these people to go with them in their ways. And these people never even ask themselves, does God approve of this? Does God approve of it? I believe many times we get the mentality of a once saved, always saved mentality. I can do whatever I want. God will forgive me. That's not the right attitude to have. We need to also be conscious and respectful of other people's consciences. Because what did Paul say? You know, Paul said he would never eat meat again if eating meat caused his brother to sin, he would do away with it. There may be something questionable that may not be wrong. But our brother or sister in Christ may have a problem with that. And it may hurt them. It may lead them into a sin, to sin against their conscience, sin against God. We need to be careful of respecting others. This Jezebel had an evil influence, didn't she? She influenced Ahab. Ahab was pretty bad on his own. He was pretty bad on his own. But he added to his problems when he married Jezebel. Jezebel was an evil influence. 1 Corinthians 5:6, last part of the passage says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. And boy, the devil knows this. The devil knows that a little sin is going to spread. And people that want to cause trouble know that too. They know, hey, I can do this and I can get people to follow me. We better not be doing that.
Let's go to Romans. Romans chapter 1. And this passage actually has to deal with the unbelievers, unbelieving people that have just totally rejected God. But in Revelation 28, Revelation 1, verse 28, it says, "And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice such things." Practice them. These people would do these deeds. They know we're full well against God and God's command, pretty much rebelling against God. And they would give hearty approval for those who also joined in on the sin. They only cared for themselves. They didn't care about other souls. They were leading people to hell by their actions, by their approval of sin. Sometimes I wonder if we really get a hold of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. If there's one thing that I want to get a hold of more and more in my life, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Because His love for me causes me to hate sin. Causes me to hate my own sin in my life. Should cause us all to hate sin. And when we truly rebel against God, many times I've thought, just like spitting in His face, slapping Him. Saying, "Who cares about your sacrifice?" Let's not influence people for the worse. By the way, these people in Thyatira are living really a licentious life. And in the church, TV gets into people's homes. And they watch movies and listen to music and read books. And I believe some of that, and pretty much all of TV that I've seen, and it's wicked out there, and I don't want to see it. It's coming from Satan. We better wake up to that. We better realize Satan wants one and destroy the church. Coming from the depths of Satan. One other thing. And I'm going to say, this morning, I've thought about this a lot, but Christians going to theaters. Yeah. You know, I don't think a Christian ought to be there. No. And I'll tell you what, I don't take a foot on that place. And I hate walking past it. Now you tell me, Christians will say, you can go to a theater. No. All right? Some people will say that. Does that give me permission to go into a bar then? You know, those same people would say, you can't go to a bar, which I agree with. You can't. And so, you know, we need to really find out what God wants us to do. Let's live like Christians. Let's be Christians. The second lesson I think we can learn, let's go back to Revelation chapter 2. And we've read this. Revelation chapter 2. And we want to read verse 19. Jesus said, I know your deeds and your love and faith and service and perseverance, and your deeds of late are greater than at first. I believe we can learn from Thyatira to do not use the past to measure progress. Now, they were growing, they were moving, and in good deeds and in faith and so forth. They were doing this something good here. And we can use that good that they were doing to realize that there's a future ahead. Every Christian needs a vision. We need to press on to the future. I hear stories about how, you know, people, converted people, you know, 10 people or so, maybe over the last 5 years, and they tell stories about it, and I hear stories about revival meetings way back in the day before my time, and that's great. You know what that does to me? Stirs me up. Gets me going. I better get out there and do some calling. Better get out there and talk to some people. But I'm afraid that maybe some of us are content to just live in the past. Yeah. Instead of saying, let's go out and do something. Let's make a difference like those men of the past made. They want to live in the past instead of make that difference in the future. Paul, in Philippians 3, you know, he said he presses on to the goal and he forgets what was left behind. And you know, I know he's pressing on the goal of heaven, the goal of being with Christ, the goal of the resurrection. But let's live. Let's live for the future, right? Let's forget the past failures and really some of the past successes and let's make successes out of the future. I go calling in Kimball, Nebraska. And anybody who's been there, they know how hard that can be. And I may have a bad calling day one day. But you know what? The next day, I might have a good one. But I'll never know unless I go out and try. So I believe we can learn from them to not use the past to measure our progress. Another thing we can learn from them is repent immediately. In Revelation 2 again, in verse 21, it says, I gave her time to repent, and she does not want to repent of her immorality. God gives us time to repent, and I'm so thankful for it. I'm so thankful He gave me time to repent. But when we realize we need to repent, I believe we should do it immediately. I don't know about you, but if I could get mad at a brother in Christ or anybody, once I realize, you know, that was really stupid to do that, or say the things you said, I ask God for forgiveness. And I say, I don't want to do that again. We need to repent immediately. What happens if we don't? What could happen if we don't? Well, I believe we could quench the Holy Spirit. Yeah. The Holy Spirit moves us to do good. But when we, continuously live in sin, and I'm talking about really a deliberate rebellion against God. Or maybe we've sinned one time and haven't really truly repented of that, and we know that it's right against God. No, I think we could grieve the Holy Spirit. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Do not grieve it. We should never want to make the Holy Spirit sad or distressed or sorrowful or sorry or grieved. When we don't repent, I believe it does grieve the Holy Spirit. And if we continue in sin, it grieves the Holy Spirit. And I can't understand how people can feel close to God. Or close to God's people when they continuously live in sin. I believe that there could be some of us that maybe have done a sin in the past that we know full well has been against God's commands, yet haven't repented of it. Maybe it's been a sin of one time, but we haven't gone to God and repent of it. I don't know. I don't know your heart. You do. Any kind of sin, great or small, we need to repent of. It could grieve the Holy Spirit. And I am thankful for the grace of God. And I, you know, God's grace is wonderful. But we need to be careful that we don't take advantage of it. Like Paul told them, the Romans chapter 6, you know, shall we continue in sin that grace may increase? May never be. And so we need to make sure we're not continuing to live in sin. And another scripture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Very small passage, but do not quench the Spirit. When I think of do not quench the Spirit, I think of a fire. And I think of the Holy Spirit having a fire in our lives and lighting a fire under us. But when we live in sin, continuous sin, rebellious sin, we've rebelled against God and haven't repented, that fire starts to go out. And I always think the fire we need from the Holy Spirit in our lives needs to be like a great big bonfire. Setting us on fire. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. And I know this is talking really about... Hebrews chapter 6 verse 4 says, "For in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come and then fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucified to themselves the Son of God and put Him to open shame." And from what I can see from the Scriptures, there's a time where we won't come to repentance. There's a time that we could get so far from God and rebel against Him and not repent of our sins that we may never be able to be restored to Jesus Christ again. I don't know the line, but God does. And again, I'm thankful for the grace of God, and I think, you know, when we sin, we can come to God in repentance, and those things we do that are sinful and we don't realize it, God does cover us with His blood. But when we rebel against God, there's a time I think that we may not be able to repent. That scares me. It scares me that if I take God's grace for granted, that I may never be able to be restored to Him. Paul said today is the day of salvation. You know, if we've been living in knowing sin, we need to repent immediately. Your heart may get hard. You may never get a chance to come back to Christ. You run the risk of quenching the Holy Spirit. What happens if I don't repent immediately? Well, we could face God's discipline. Let's go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 8. We could face God's discipline. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 5. God has dealt graciously with Israel. "Thus you are to know in your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you just as a man disciplines his son. When they were in the wilderness, God provided water for them and food for them, and their clothes didn't deteriorate. And God says, let you know that I was disciplining you." What is discipline? Well, it's instruction, teaching, right? It also can be chastisement. God disciplines us, and we all need the discipline of God. We may get disciplined by God, not just because we sin, but to teach us and to help us grow as Christians. If there's one thing, though, that I can say in my life, and I think in other people's lives that I talk to, I see that when there has been a trial or a problem in their life, they have rethought. They have drawn closer to God. They haven't drawn farther from Him. Preaching is another way of discipline. In 1 Corinthians 1:21, you know, God has given preaching to save men, to save those who believe. Right. And I was going to try to quote it, but I felt like maybe I couldn't. Preaching sometimes, we should be learning from the preaching, but we should also be convicted by the preaching. And it should cause us to repent of our sins. And sometimes if we're living in sin, preaching isn't so wonderful sometimes. Sometimes it can be hard to handle. But that's the preaching I like too. Because I go home and say, boy, that preacher's right. I need to try harder for God. And I hope up here while we were at camp that we've heard messages in classes that have challenged our life and that we're going to go home and say, I need to try harder for the Lord. And we can learn a lot from God's discipline. And let's go to Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 24. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 24. And repent of any sin. What happens if I don't? It may become too late. If I don't repent, it may become too late. And the great day may come when we see Jesus Christ. Let's take our Bibles and go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. Therefore, we also have our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. We're going to stand before God, and it should be our ambition to please God, because we're going to appear before Him. There may be anger, bitterness, jealousy. We may have wanted to cause divisions in our life, in the church that we have in our life, that we need to repent of before it's too late. There's one thing that makes me so upset, seeing, and it upsets God, I know it does, because God says to forgive, and so many people that call themselves Christians don't forgive, and they hold grudges. And that shouldn't be the case. No. We should have it as our goal to want to, if we know we've upset somebody in a way we shouldn't have, we maybe have said something to them that we shouldn't have said, maybe we said it in a way we shouldn't have said it. We need to go to God and ask Him for forgiveness, and we need to go to the person. And we need to tell them, you know, I'm sorry for the way I've treated you. I repent of that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 2. 1 Thessalonians 5, 2. It says, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief of the night. We don't know when Christ is coming. But He guarantee He knows your hidden thoughts, your cherished sins. He knows everything that you've done wrong. And when I was sleeping, I used to work nights, and so I'd be sleeping during the day, and one day I heard a great big boom, and I thought somebody hit our house. And it was nobody hit our house, and I turned on the radio, it was like some explosion, you know, and it was a sonic boom. And I tell you what, that woke me up, and I started thinking about Christ returning. And I said, boy, that's a scary thought. We better make sure we're getting our lives right with Him and repenting of any known sin. Otherwise, we may face God unprepared. If we're going to restore Christ's church, each one of us have to look at our own life and ask ourselves, have I repented of known sin? And I just can't help but think that maybe there are some of us who haven't. And we've had sin in our life, and we've continued to just rebel against God, and we need to repent of that. Christ loved us, and He gave Himself up for us. But there may come a day we face Christ. And I don't want to face Him in His wrath and anger, but I want Him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Last point, I got to wrap up here. But I'm going to mention it real quick. The overcomers are given the morning star. And as I study this passage, in Revelation 22:16, Jesus calls himself the morning star. And let me tell you something, it should be our ambition. It should be our goal. We should have a passion to want to see Jesus face to face. Fanny Crosby, she was a blind songwriter. She wrote some of our hymns. And one preacher was telling her, it's so terrible that you're blind. And you know what she said? She said, if there's one thing I could pray for that to have in my life is to be blind, because the first face I'm going to see is that of Jesus Christ. You know, that should be our ambition. It should be our passion. And when it is, we're going to do our all to serve Him. Now, I don't know where you stand with God today, but perhaps one of the things we've talked about today or through the week applies to your life. That you need to get right with the Lord. Straighten things out. Maybe you've been living in a life of sin apart from Jesus Christ, our Savior. You need to set your life in order and get your relationship fixed with Him. You know, I urge you to think about the message this morning, the messages we've heard and will continue to hear, and consider your life with Christ. Consider your eternity. Consider the lessons we can learn from Thyatira. We need to repent this day, not wait. I can't help but think tomorrow might be too late. You may die, or Christ may come. So please, think about your relationship with Jesus Christ. One thing I want to see is every one of us here in heaven, amen, together for eternity with Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. I'll turn it over to you.